Multiculturalism and ethnic diversity are buzzwords celebrated these days in everything from education to food to music. But linguist Jeffrey Nunberg says when it comes to the people who deliver our news on TV or radio, we're not so tolerant.
In 1985, James Kahakua applied for a job advertised by the Honolulu office of the National Weather Service. Kahakua has an extensive background in meteorology, but one of the requirements of the job was to read weather announcements recorded for broadcast to local boaters. And Kahakua is a native-born Hawaiian who speaks with a lilting accent of the islands. The Weather Service didn't dispute his general qualifications, but they said that his accent was unacceptable. They gave the job instead to a mainlander with no degree and a minimal meteorological background, who spoke with something more like what people think of as a broadcast voice. Kahakua sued the Weather Service under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, which forbids discrimination on the basis of race or national origin. The case was heard in the Ninth Circuit Court by M.D. Crocker, a visiting judge from Fresno, California. Crocker ruled that the Weather Service was justified in insisting on standard English accent as a job qualification, since, as he put it, standard English pronunciation should be used by radio broadcasters. Kahakua's suit was disallowed. Kahakua's case is discussed in a recent article on accent discrimination in the Yale Law Journal by Mari Matsuda, a professor of law at the University of Hawaii in UCLA. Matsuda doesn't deny that accent can sometimes be a reasonable job qualification. You might have second thoughts about offering Peter Lorre a job as an air traffic controller, say. But she also points out that accent is often used as an excuse for social bias, even when it creates no real communicative difficulties. In fact, American attitudes about accents are the last redoubt of unexamined class and ethnic prejudice. Not many people nowadays would think to compliment Brian Gumbel by saying that he looks white, but most people find nothing odd in saying that he's well-spoken, which is just another way of saying sounds white. After all, nobody uses well-spoken to describe Hugh Downs. Another way of saying this is that so-and-so doesn't have an accent. When I hear this, my mind goes back to those salmon-pink Crayola crayons we used to have that were labeled flesh. Attitudes about accent are naturally most evident in broadcasting. The remarkable thing about the Kahakua case is that few people see anything odd when a judge from California rules that a Hawaiian accent disqualifies somebody from broadcasting weather reports to other Hawaiians. The judge explained his decision by saying that a non-standard accent is less clear and comprehensible. But people don't seem to have any trouble understanding actors like Eddie Murphy or Danny DeVito, not to mention Bob Hoskins or Paul Hogan. And the broadcasting industry is perfectly willing to use people with non-standard accents as sports announcers or rock DJs. They can do shows about cars or home repairs. They just can't read the news or weather. Now, strictly speaking, what people call broadcast standard isn't an accent at all. If you listen just to their vowels, the Newfoundlander Robert McNeil and the Texan Jim Lehrer are still a good 2,500 miles apart. What broadcasters insist on is the voice quality and the intonation of the white upper middle class. This is the literal voice of authority, a kind of phonetic double-breasted suit. The judge in the Kahakua case argued that accent discrimination isn't like race or sex discrimination, since anyone can learn to speak with a standard broadcast voice. But accents actually aren't that easy to lose. And in any event, why should people have to abandon the linguistic traces of their background if they want to be taken seriously? It's interesting that the BBC has been using news announcers with marked regional and non-upper-class accents for some time now. There were the predictable, shirty letters to the Times at first, but people got used to it, the way they would get used to it here. After all, there's no linguistic reason for insisting on the broadcast voice. It's just a habit that comes of 50 years of listening to guys like Walter Cronkite saying, "That's the way it is."
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Institute for Research on Learning in Palo Alto.